Making out a will is one of those necessary but kind of creepy things you have to do. We have to decide who gets the house, who gets the retirement accounts, who gets the 40,000 comic books. A Minnesota couple who owns an enormous collection was faced with this dilemma. At first, they planned to write instructions in a will, but life intervened and they had to make a quick decision about what to do with this sizable assortment of comic books. John and Judy Borger joins us now. Hi, how are you?
Very good, Allison. Nice to talk with you.
So, Judy, tell us, you said you have these comic books. At one point, they were all over the house. Do you mean literally all over the house? Can you describe where?
Pretty much literally all over the house. We had built a big space in the basement to house them, and then they outgrew that, and then they were all over our third floor, and then after a while they were had, I've used the word metastasized, which is a little negative, but the fact of the matter is that they were in the living room, they were in the kitchen, they were in the bedroom, they were everywhere.
John, if you boxed them all up, would they fit into a van or a truck or a pickup or a moving van?
Nobody argues with a train.
So, John, when did this collection actually start?
I have comics in the collection that I got as a kid in first or second grade, or maybe earlier.
Now, Judy, I mentioned this before. Your husband's an attorney and you're a journalist, so obviously comic book collecting, not your full-time job. But when did you realize this was more than just holding on to a couple of comic books? At what point did you realize this is something bigger?
I guess, it was kind of I was introduced to him and his comic books when we were in college, when one day, when we were just really good friends, and was a really nice sunny day, and we were walking down the street at on Grand Avenue, which is the main drag across from Michigan State University, and we went into this store, which was, I don't know how old you are, but if you know what head shops were back in the 70s.
I do indeed.
Okay, anyway, so we go into this head
Don't
shop,
tell my mom.
and I'm thinking, he wants to look around in the head shop. And the next thing I know, he pushes away these beads that are blocking the door to a back room, which I hadn't known existed. And I follow him in there, and it's a room full of old comic books and about 20 geeky guys standing around leafing through all of them. And that's when I realized, oh, this is more than just occasionally picking up a comic book.
John, is that how you remember that story?
Not really, because I was buying on a weekly basis. Wouldn't stand out as anything unusual for me.
So you've been married.
I do remember bringing Judy along on a few trips and her being somewhat uncomfortable.
Oh, I wasn't uncomfortable. I just thought it was unique.
So fast forward 34 years later, you've been married.
Yeah.
And you come to a point in your life when you realized you had to do something with this collection. Explain to our listeners what's going on with you guys personally that you have decided to donate this collection.
Well, I think what's going on is I have been very fortunate to be able to indulge a hobby, both in terms of acquiring the collection and having the space to store it for a long, long time. And we are now in the time-honored and inevitable tradition of downsizing as empty nesters, moving to a smaller facility where that luxury, at least in terms of storage, will no longer exist. And there were essentially three routes. One, I could store it all off-site under uncertain conditions at best, and certainly far less access to it than I've had. I could sell it and watch this collection that has meant something to me over the years disappear into a lot of different hands and become reduced to nothing more than dollars. Or I could find a new custodian for something that has meant a lot to me over the years. And it really became clear what needed to be done, although that didn't necessarily make it any easier.
Judy, fill us in. Who's the lucky recipient of these comic books?
It's the University of Minnesota Anderson Library, the children's literature collection, and it's really an awesome library. It's built in or dug into the limestone that lines the banks of the Mississippi River, and it's in a naturally cool environment because it's so far down and almost perfect humidity. Anyone who wants to read these books can do it anytime they want, you know, during regular business hours. And that's, frankly, is one of the arguments that I was making, that I have a very different philosophy about books. I think books are meant to be read and circulated, not sit in the basement. So in this way, anybody in the public who wants to can go over and go into one of the reading rooms and tell the librarian, I guess they don't call them librarians anymore, research assistant or whatever, which books that they want, and they will bring them to them, and you can sit and read them. These rooms are really pretty secure. You can't take any backpacks in there. You can't bring in any kind of ink. If you're going to take notes, it's got to be with pencil or on a computer. And you got to wear white cotton gloves so that to protect the comic books. One of the points I made in the article I wrote about this for MinPost.com is that this is a very far cry from my son, who used to read his copies in the bathtub.
Well, speaking of this, how did your kids react when you said, you know what, we're gonna give away most of our comic books? Did they get the first chance to go through them, or did you decide you just were going to donate all of them to some sort of educational institution?
For our youngest, I think he recognized that he would not, for a long time, have any place to keep them, would not have the ability to maintain that sort of collection. And so giving them to a place where he would still be able to have access, I think, was a reasonable alternative.
And I'm guessing a reasonable alternative for you, too. You can go in there as well, right, and visit your comic books.
There is benefit to getting to a place very close to where we'll be living, yes.
It's going to be walking distance.
Ah, I see.
On a good day.
I see. John, I have to imagine they also received some very valuable comic books. Have you had the collection assessed?
The collection is in the process of being appraised, but this was not an issue for me of money or value of the comics as a dollar and cents piece. If that had been the issue, they would have just been sold. The issue here is where will they be appreciated as a whole.
John, what do the comic books represent to you outside of their entertainment value or their value as a collectible?
Well, it's a piece of what I grew up with, and both as a kid myself, and the history of reading and talking about this stuff with my kids as they grew up.
Judy, what was it like for you when the first box actually left the house? I understand about 30 boxes have already gone over.
Yeah, it was hard. It was very hard. And you know, all along I've been the one who's been arguing that this is the best thing to do with these books and let's get them out of here and all that sort of thing. And then I saw them go, and it was like a piece of our family history was being thrown in a truck and carted away. So it was difficult. There's no question.
John, did you keep any of the books at all?
Yes, I'll be keeping a significant collection in the new place.
John, I'm going to ask you to geek out for us a little bit in case some of our listeners are really hardcore comic book fans. Tell me two or three comics that you have in this collection that would really make someone salivate.
A few just off the top of my head would be Why the Last Man, Sandman, series of about 75 issues, Watchmen, published in the 1980s, soon to be a major motion picture, I understand. By the nature of listing a few, I've omitted a lot of books that I really, really like.
John and Judy Borger, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Good luck with the move.
Thank you very much.
And we'll link to your article, Judy, on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. There's a video as well, so you can see what the Borgers have in store in their home, as well as their collection. Thanks, guys.
Very good. Thank you,
You're
Allison.
Welcome.